speak into this topic about whether God really can be good, especially when life brings pain. I guess a question that many of us have. We've got Laura Nelson come to join us. Laura's married to Pete, who sometimes comes along here, and they've got two children. I'll be interviewing her for 20 minutes or so, and then after that there'll be time for Q&A. Just before we start getting together, I'm just going to read out a few sentences from the Bible, which you can find on the back of the handouts, or in the Luke's Gospels. As I prefer, these are just eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. So on the back of the handout, or on page 72 of these Gospels. So Luke chapter 22, page 72, or on the handouts, this is what the scriptures say. And Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." There appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Laura will be speaking to us a little bit about what those verses mean to her in just a moment. But before we get there, welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Yeah, stay safe.
Great.
So can you just kick us off by telling us a bit of background about yourself? Where did you grow up and what's your line of work these days?
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for having me. It's so encouraging to see you all here at lunchtime. This is my first time at the Moorgate Talk, so thank you very much. I am Laura. I am an employment lawyer in the city. I've been in the city since 2007 now at the same firm, which is either a wonderful testament to the relationships I've built up or, a crisis of imagination, you choose. employment lawyer in the city. We live in Dulwich. I'm married to Pete, as Julia said. We've got two little girls. We go to church down in Dulwich. You may have heard of our new minister. that's me.
Brilliant. And obviously we've got you here today to speak into this subject about how can God be good when life is painful. Please can you just tell us about some of the difficult experiences that you've had?
Yeah, I grew up in Buckinghamshire in a very, very, a lovely home life, Christian parents, a big brother. And I was taught about Christian things growing up. We went to church. I don't think I ever really understood the gospel for myself, so what it really meant. I think probably at that stage what I took away from it was a lot to do with reading the Bible, praying, going to church, being good things to do, and a kind of a fairly upright and moral way to live. And I was quite a compliant child at that stage, so that seemed fine to me, so I was happy to go along with that. But that's probably as far as kind of Christian things went for me, which was different to the rest of my family. And then, unfortunately, when I was 11, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. And he battled that for about 6 years. And then when I was 17, very sadly, he died. And that just hit all of us as a family really hard. We'd had quite a stable life until that point. I was actually away at boarding school at the time, so when it was clear that things looked bad for my dad, I came home. But that was fairly chaotic. I was sort of doing A-levels and stuff. And I think it's safe to say that it hit us all really hard when he eventually died. And I went off the rails in all the ways, I guess, that teenagers can and ought not to.
And how did that affect your sort of idea of Christian things at that time?
Yeah, I think I was mostly just furious with God. I think my understanding of Christianity being that you did the things and God was kind to you, which I hope most of you will understand is not the way that Christianity works. And so with that misunderstanding of God and his character and the way he works, I was just furious that I thought I'd done the right thing and my dad had been taken away from me. So I was very, very angry. So I stopped going to church, stopped doing anything to do with Christian things. I really kind of ran as far the other way as I could do. And I think I just kind of tried to make the most of life now and kind of you only live once, kind of do all the things that you can. Just questing after all the things, I guess, that we're told in the wider world will give us happiness. So whether that be a good career, nice things, nice clothes, nice holidays, travels, ultra experiences, all those things, none of which are bad in themselves. But I guess kind of chasing after lots of things and being quite aware that once I got one thing, it probably wasn't the answer, and then you need to find the next thing. The new phone's in the new phone for a little while, and then you need the upgrade, don't you? It's that kind of principle with all of the things. So I probably did that fairly well for 10 years and did quite well in my career. I definitely haven't set the legal world on fire, but doing okay. had lots of friends. So I think from the outside, it probably looks as though, after having gone off the rails a bit after my dad died, I probably got things back on track in some ways. But I think I was aware that it was all a little bit empty.
And then what was it that then eventually brought you back to faith in the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, so as I say, I kind of lived quite well for 10 years in that way. And I think I thought about Christianity from time to time. But I definitely decided I'd grown out of it. And it was probably just a crutch for people who didn't know better, were a bit needy, or who hadn't understood science. So when you said at the beginning, this is tagline for skeptics, I probably should have come here at that time. Because I was definitely a kind of skeptic or worse, kind of opposed to Christian things. And in the meantime, my wonderful mum was going really well with Christian things. My brother had gone off to uni and got really stuck into a really good church and married a wonderful Christian girl and, of all things, was training to be a vicar. So I was furious about that as well. So from time to time, they would say that they were praying for me, or they would give me Christian books at Christmas, which made me so cross. So we had a really, really good relationship, but that was definitely a kind of, I don't want anything. You can be Christians, but that's not for me. Thank you very much. But then I sometimes think God has got an enormous sense of humour in a sort of slightly strange way, make of it what you will. So one day I went home. I was living in London at the time. As I say, home is in Buckinghamshire. And I arrived home on Easter Sunday for Easter Sunday lunch. And there was no one there. And to cut a long and tricky story short, it turned out my mum had been taken into hospital. And her aorta had split, which I didn't even know was a thing that could happen. So the aorta is the main vein that takes blood to the heart, so that's not a good thing if that splits. It was hard to find someone who could operate on her because it was the bank holiday weekend, but eventually they sent the scans around the country, and a wonderful surgeon at St Mary's in Paddington said he would come in and look after her. So they blue-lighted her up to Paddington, my brother and I followed, and she had surgery that night that was long and complicated, and she got through the night, but then she had a very, very long period in Paddington, and they kept her in a coma for a long time because so much of what her body had been through she just couldn't be awake for. And so my brother and I kind of camped out in Paddington Station which I think it's had a refurb since, but the time was so grim. It was a pub up on the first level, which was just dire, but that's where we were. Either there or the hospital, and the doctors said that we could go in for about 5-10 minutes at a time and talk to her while she was in this coma. But we didn't really know if she could hear. And I remember just in exhaustion and desperation just saying to my brother one day, what on earth do I say to her? I've got no idea if she can hear me. What am I meant to say? I've got nothing. And he said, well, probably what she would like to hear is some of the Psalms. Now, for those of you who know something about the Bible, the Psalms are a book in the Old Testament, and lots of what King David, who wrote the Psalms, is facing is just horror and really difficult circumstances. And the Psalms are the words that he uses to cry out to the Lord, and they're real words of desperation and despair, but ultimately trust that God has a plan and will put everything right in the end. So I read a psalm to her a day, and little by little I found that I wanted to read them on my own afterwards. I didn't want to tell my brother because I didn't want him to think that I wanted to be a Christian. So I spoke to my brother's wife's brother and said to him that I needed a Bible, he was a friend of mine, needed a Bible and needed to go to church. So we did. And it was after I'd been going to church for a little while that I actually went to the church my brother was training to be a vicar at. And the speaker there did a sermon on this wonderful passage that we had read out to us at the start. And I remember hearing those words. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And just the kind of intensity of that moment of Jesus on his way to die on the cross, going through suffering far worse than I was going through and having done nothing wrong in his life. And suddenly it was just like my eyes were opened, and all the anger that I'd had in my heart with God was replaced with just this enormous gratitude that Jesus would do that for me and for all those who can see that the world around us is broken and that God has a plan. And so for all those who are prepared to say sorry for the way that we've lived and to turn and trust in Jesus. And that was the moment that I decided that I wasn't angry with God anymore, but I wanted to trust in Jesus.
Thank you for sharing. And for now, I guess, don't know how many years later, how would you say that your faith kind of helps you to face daily life, I guess, in a broken world every day? Maybe smaller amounts of suffering on a day-to-day basis, but it's still there.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, life just is hard, isn't it? You only have to read the news for a second to see that there is just an enormous amount of suffering. Sadly, my mum died after a few months in hospital. In God's kindness, she woke up to know that I'd become a Christian, which I think is a real kindness. And I'm so grateful that I'm a Christian now and that God called me back. But that doesn't mean there aren't hard days. I've had lots of blessings, a husband, children. There have been hard times since. My youngest daughter was very poorly when she was born. She's got hearing loss as a result of that. And there's ongoing things, aren't there? Life just is hard for lots of people. And I'm aware that addressing a group of people like this, there's almost certainly people in here who've had harder suffering or are in the middle of suffering at the moment, and this might be a very painful topic. But what I have learned is that trusting in God and him having a plan has enabled me to keep going. And I absolutely know firsthand that trusting in my career or finding identity in the things that I can buy or any of those things absolutely wasn't the answer. But actually, trusting in Jesus kind of enables me to face the hardship that there is in the world, and knowing that ultimately it will all be resolved in God's kindness.
If we're sitting here thinking that sounds very nice, especially maybe that last bit about everything being resolved in the end, but it also seems maybe slightly unrealistic, then what would you say into that thought?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, I know that this topic is unbearably hard. So I think if you are someone who's sitting there thinking, how can God be good? I think my strongest commendation would be to open the Bible. As Christians, we believe that the Bible is all God's word. There are these fab Luke's Gospels on the tables. And if you've not read it for yourself, as I say, in the time before I was a Christian, I thought I knew better. And particularly, I guess, having a kind of vaguely academic background and being a lawyer, I like to kind of trust, you know, there's nothing kind of fanciful about the way that I like to do things. So the book of Luke, particularly when I first read that, really appealed to me, because in the opening section of Luke, Luke talks about the fact that he has put together an orderly account using eyewitness evidence. So it's kind of, it appealed to my kind of academic sort of way that this is someone who wanted to write down exactly what he saw based on what people at the time were saying, so that we could trust it. And, you know, we believe that it's God's word. So if you are someone who has questions about how God can be good, this gospel sets out why Jesus came, why he was born, why he had to die on the cross, and why that cross means that all those who trust in Jesus can be friends with God again. And so I guess that would be my suggestion for anyone who has got questions.
Thank you so much, Laura.